Well, I have to tell you, there is absolutely no greater dread in the life of any parent than the time when your child reaches the age when a driver's license is possible. Even with driver's education classes in school, there's a pure reluctance on the part of any parent putting a 16-year-old behind the wheel of a car. All you can think of is, how much is my insurance going to be? And we can procrastinate it, but no matter how long you delay it, the reality is going to hit, and your fears will come to life as never before. That was certainly my experience with my son when he celebrated his 16th birthday. And he begged me to let him drive, or to get a learner's permit, or to get a driver's license. I said no so many times, I think it was stuck on my lips. But finally, I had to surrender. I didn't have any other choice. And so I scheduled the time to take him for a trial run on the oldest car that we had, just in case. So I chose a Sunday afternoon. And as a minister, I chose the parking lot of the largest church in Wichita, Kansas, because I knew there would be no cars there. And it was empty. Thank goodness. And it seemed to be the safest site that I could imagine. So my hands were shaking when I moved from the driver's seat over to the passenger side of the car. And slowly he pulled the gear shift down from park to neutral. Then he turned to me and he said, "Are we okay?" And I said, I guess so. And then he slipped into drive and we began to make these slow circles in this parking lot. But I was surprised that he seemed to be a natural behind the wheel. He's not that these days. The one concern I had was that he continuously seemed to be looking in the rearview mirror. And so I said, "Well, why do you keep looking in the rearview mirror?" He said, "So nobody hits me from behind." I'm going like, "There's nobody here. There are no other cars. So there's nobody that's going to hit you." He said, "But it's safer to look in the rearview mirror." So I instructed him, "Take your eyes off of the rearview mirror and look through the windshield at where you're going. Focus on what's in front of you and not what's behind you." That seems wise to offer that same advice to each of us as we have begun this new year. Rather than looking into our rearview mirror of the past, we need to focus more on what potentially positive things are ahead for us, because there are many. Yes, every one of us has had some difficult days this past year. We often felt as if we were hit unexpectedly from behind, just like my son looking in the rearview mirror. And we were caught unprepared. Perhaps even seem to be more damaged to our rear ends than we had experienced or hoped for. If we were to be totally honest, our review of our past would occupy more space than just the past year. Too often, we hang on to past events and experiences, and we are seemingly unable to let them go. When I began to remember my own past, there are several significant things that came to mind I'd like to share today. And a lot of this is personal, and I apologize for that. But maybe you'll see some similarities. I want to begin with something that has been a passion for me since my early college days. It revolves around a man, and his name was Martin Luther King Jr. And coincidentally, today is his birthday. He would have been 94 years old today if he had not been assassinated when he was 39 years old. So my mind drifts back to the days when living in Mississippi and Alabama during the Civil Rights Movement. And I participated in the Third Selma March. And I registered African-American homes registering to vote in opposition to George Wallace and the religious right. And yeah, I know that's a distant look back at the past, really distant. But if you'll pamper me for just a minute, I'll try to make it meaningful. So I do recall the Selma marches. I recall the jail time that Dr. King spent in the Birmingham jail while I was in college in Birmingham, Alabama. And I remember Rosa Parks when she sat down and would not move to the back of the bus. And there was so much more. And now I reflect on where we've come from there and where I can anticipate the future being. And I watched as they elected a Speaker of the House, Representatives in Congress, and the most important, meaningful, touching words came from a Black man from New York who was elected the minority leader of the House of Representatives. And I thought, whoa, dude, we're moving forward. And I see that now too. Everybody who knows me from here knows that I'm a Hallmark addict and that that's the only four channels on my TV that I go to. Golden Girls, movies. I wish they wouldn't start the holiday Christmas movies on October the 1st, but they've never asked for my opinion about that. But now as I see the cast of many of the stories, I'm seeing interracial mixes, and it's exciting to me. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a better year, moving in that direction. But that's what I anticipate, because I don't want to dwell in the past. I want to see if there's going to be more positive in the future. Next month, we're going to make the one-year anniversary of Russia's war on the Ukrainian people. Past year, I've seen the media coverage of the devastation caused to a democratic country by its dictatorial neighbor. I worked for a short time as a cashier at Home Goods this past year, and six of the employees there were Ukrainian women. And I would sit beside those women in the break room and watch them try on their phones to contact relatives to see if they were safe, and to sit there sobbing and weeping. And they were telling me about their family members and how their homes had been destroyed and how their lives had been upended. For them and their families there, that's been heartbreaking for all of us, to say the least, this past year. But my anticipation for this year and my hope for this year is that there's going to be some kind of peace that comes between those two nations. I don't work for the United Nations, and I'm not a peacekeeper there. But my hope is that when we focus on the anticipation of peace, it helps us to move past the reality of war. The dark past might suddenly become a little bit brighter. Last year was a personal struggle for me in several ways. Having been a retired minister — there is no such thing, by the way. You can retire from a position, but once they make you a minister, they hound you and follow you and say, "Are you doing this? Are you doing that?" But I thought, as a retired minister, how often can I watch Golden Girls and feel good about that? And I wasn't really fulfilling my calling into ministry, which began when I was 18 years old. I was a child evangelist. Should have had my own TV program. Then I would have had a jet, but oh well. But out of boredom and distraction, I accepted a job as a cashier at Home Goods. For 6 hours a day, for a few days a week, I stood at a register, interfaced with customers, and there were customers of every sort and every kind. Some of them were nice, some of them not so. My warning to you is, be nice to the cashiers. They could ring you up some charges that you weren't looking for. Not that I did that. Though I loved the team that I worked with there, I always went home feeling as if I didn't have a purpose. What was I doing, a minister at a cash register, scanning items, putting them in a plastic bag and charging people 8 cents for that bag. Well, then an interesting thing happened. A clergy friend of mine said, I'm going to give your name to this pastor search committee. I said, they're looking for ministers all over, everywhere. You can have your pick. Where do you want to go? No. Have to write a sermon every week? No. No. But he did it anyway. And I got a call from this American Baptist Church, which, by the way, is my denomination. I'm not sure you're aware of this, but Martin Luther King Jr. was also an American Baptist minister, so I followed in his tradition. But there's a shortage of ministers of every faith, including Unitarian Universalist. So it must have been so severe that when they interviewed me on the phone, they were impressed. I'm going like, whoa. And after the first Zoom meeting, they offered me a job. I said, how many hours a week am I going to have to work? Oh, 20. How many Sundays off do I get a year? How much money are you paying me? How much are you paying my mileage? And yes to everything. And I'm going like, holy cow, there must be some divine intervention here. So my pass as a cashier has now moved to an interim position in a senior adult, we'll call it, congregation of some of the most amazing people. I was telling Jennifer about our special music last Sunday at church. Sally, you will appreciate this. We have a pianist, and she's full-time. She's 84. And so we had a duet with our pianist and a bassoon player, who was a former dean of music for our university in New Mexico. He plays the bassoon. He's 96 years old. And it was pretty amazing. So there I am at this church. I didn't anticipate it, but I'm anticipating that this is a joyful time for me to be able to go back into the ministry and to fulfill my calling and to work with faithful people. It's the same as when I'm invited to come to SUF and to speak here. It just fills me with so much joy. And speaking of joy, I'm reminded of, for years when I would come, I've been coming for 15 years, Joy would sit back in that corner over there, and I would always go, is she nodding or? Most of the time she would nod. But it is an older congregation, and it is my anticipation that I might be able to help that congregation who had to sell their building and meet now in rented space and have a contingency plan of what's going to happen to them in the future if they can't grow like this church is growing. So that's my anticipation for the future for that church. But nothing occupied more of my time in the past year than the health issues for my husband. In 2022, he had hundreds of hours of appointments and procedures as we were hoping that he would be on the wait list for a heart transplant. He has had 4 bypass surgeries. And we were hopeful that this would be something that we could accomplish. But after all of those hundreds of hours of and procedures and maxing out your out-of-pocket for your insurance at $8,500, we have been postponed. So that's the past, and I don't want to dwell there. I want to anticipate the future where he will be put on the list to receive a heart transplant, because this is going to have an impact on his life. So I've begun 2023 anticipating that we're going to have a much better turn of events this year. And our hope is that the heart transplant team will once again review his case and approve his being placed on that wait list. And I don't know if you're familiar with heart transplant or even kidney or other organ transplants, but the wait list has 6 levels. At the top of the level is an emergency, if you have to do it today. At the bottom of the list is you can wait several years. So you never know where you're going to be on the wait list. I don't want to be an emergency, but I also don't want to be at the wait list. But we're anticipating a brighter future, and I want to share that with you. What about you? Each of you has an opportunity to look in the rearview mirror of your own life and think about what's back there. But you have a golden opportunity to anticipate a brighter and more peaceful year ahead if you look out the front window. Now, if you're like me, I would see a clearer future in my window if I go to the car wash occasionally and clean it up, but it's fuzzy sometimes. But we do have a golden opportunity, and that's not just individuals. It applies to your church here in Mount Vernon, just as much as it does to you as an individual. Not having church, not having been here every day for the past year, I don't know exactly what happened here, but I know that you all are growing, and that you all are inspiring, and that you all are ministering in new and different ways that is very, very important in this community. You may not be aware, but the Disciples of Christ, who are a progressive Christian group, also had a congregation in Mount Vernon. They sold their building, and the congregation folded. And that happens. Each week in the United States, 150 churches close their doors. That's a sad thing. But what I'm seeing here is that you've opened your doors and you have a bright future. And my encouragement to you is to anticipate glorious things happening for you, because they will. So the doors here and elsewhere were opened somewhat to allow personal worship. You remember when we were isolated and we could only do that? It was okay because I just wore a nice shirt and pajama bottoms. Because nobody could tell what I was wearing. I would have worn a hat to cover my hair, but I felt guilty, so I made a shower every Sunday morning. But churches have been called to juggle their worship here and there, online, and keep congregations active and bound together. And sadly, some of our sister churches haven't been able to do that. I spoke 2 weeks ago at the Unitarian Church in Marysville. And sadly, their building is now for sale. The congregation has diminished, and they're not able to support their building. But they're looking forward to a future too, and trying to build on that. But even though you look back and you're anticipating that you have to leave your home, you have to leave your building, you can still look ahead and see what bright things, what's ahead in the future, what's the positive things that you can anticipate in 2023. Now, I could not be happier for this church that I've come to love over the 15 years that I've been popping up here from time to time. I've told you, some of you weren't here when I first came here, so I'm going to tell the story. It's old. I had just become the chaplain at Planned Parenthood, and someone from this church found out about me, and so they said, oh, let's ask him to come and speak. So I got this phone call. Pastor Vincent, would you like to come and speak? Sure. Okay. Can you send us a bio and maybe something about what we would like to speak about? I said, sure. So I sent my bio to I don't know who in the church, and it says ordained Southern Baptist minister, because that's who ordained me. And so I get this phone call from someone at church. Reverend Vincent, yes, we're so thrilled that you're going to come and speak on Sunday, but could we ask a favor? I said, certainly. Moment of silence. Don't talk about God. So, I didn't. And haven't, and they still ask me to come back. Had to be sure which sermon I'm putting up here today, because I also have to hurry to my 2 o'clock church. And I'm going like, oh, I hope I don't get the wrong sermon here. You don't want to hear about the Apostle Paul, do you? But you all, this church at the Community Church of Issaquah goes back to the 1930s. And they actually built their own building, physically. And so it was sad when they had to close that building. It grew to be the largest congregation in Issaquah and Sammamish area. And they kept that record for a long time. But then, like many churches, its youth discovered the internet and had no interest in church, because whatever they wanted, they could get online. Membership and attendance declined year after year until it was decided to sell their building and take the small group of leftover members to a storefront property. And years have passed, and this amazing group of women and men have stuck it out. And I told you, they were older, and they are, but they have never given up on anticipating a future of good things to come. In a service a couple of weeks ago, we had some special music that I told you about, and that was incredible. But that's wonderful to anticipate that I'll be sitting here, not here, but there, one Sunday, and we'll have another special, because Loretta is going to play in 2 more weeks. She's 93 and plays the accordion. I'm going to wear earplugs, but I'm going to. You see, there are bright spots everywhere. My encouragement to you is, don't dwell on the past. You can't change it. Anticipate the future, because you can change that. And you can make it glorious and wonderful. And my encouragement to you is, do that. Finally, I will say this to you. If you want the simplest example of forgetting the past and anticipating the future, I'll tell you this. We've already had a week of snow. It's done. In just a few weeks, you're going to have the Tulip Festival. Now, if that's not good news, I don't know what is. Well, I appreciate the opportunity of sharing with you this morning.